Well, good morning. Well, that wasn't very good. Good morning. That's better. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. You see a QR code on the screen that will point you towards a new Connect form. If you are new at our church, or if you would like to know more about anything about our church, use your phone to scan that QR code, and we'll be in touch with you. And that leads to a Google form that you can fill out and everything. Thank you to Lori Van Hoff, who is subbing in on the piano today. Sue is out of town. I think they're on vacation. There are a lot of people going on vacation, myself included, which means that next Sunday, Emma Landowski-Sancombe, a dear friend of mine who has been here a couple of times before, will be with you in worship, and Rafi and I are going to Door County because it's her birthday and our 1 year engagement anniversary. So it's just going to be a really nice time away for the two of us to be together. And so I will be on vacation from this afternoon until Sunday, and then I'll be back in the office on Monday. And then just another reminder about since it's Lent, we are starting our Wednesday night Lenten services again. And this year we're doing it in conjunction with the United Methodist Church, and they will be coming here every week. I will be doing it with Renee, the new pastor over at the Methodist Church, who is just totally delightful, wonderful woman, who I think you're going to really enjoy. So in my absence, because I'm going to be gone this week, John O'Donovan is going to be leading it with Renee. And then John is also on call this week should you need any pastoral care. Ainsley has an announcement for us this morning.
This year's confirmation class invites you to join us for a soup luncheon fundraiser on Sunday, April 26th, immediately following the 9:30 a.m. service. Come enjoy delicious homemade soups and warm fellowship. A Goodwill offering jar will be available for donations. The confirmands are raising funds to replenish the Faith Formation Retreat account, and we need your support to make this event a success. In addition for joining us for lunch, would you consider donating a gift basket or an item for our silent auction? Your contributions will help make this a fun and meaningful event for everyone. Gift baskets and auction items will be displayed about 3 weeks before the luncheon, giving everyone a chance to browse, buy raffle tickets, and show their support leading up to April 26th. Thank you for helping our confirmation class grow in faith and service. Please see a confirmation student or Becky Smith if you can help.
Any other announcements?
I have one or two. Speaking of Sue Stelzel, it is her birthday today, and I know she's probably not on Zoom or anything since she's in Punta Cana today, but I want to wish her a happy birthday. And then also, Easter Lily orders are due 2 weeks from today, so if you haven't gotten your order in, please do today or within the next couple of weeks. Thank you.
Thank you. It's also Colson Whitehouse's birthday today. So happy birthday to both of them. Anything else? Okay, then Rick, will you lead us in the call to worship?
And my mother's 89 tomorrow.
Wow, great.
If it's comfortable for you to do so, please stand. Join me in the call to worship. The good news of the gospel is, the good news of the gospel is, so come on in. There's no time to waste. This surprising good news is here for you. Join me in the unison prayer. Holy One, it is easy to see the mustard plant and forget to marvel at the seed. It is easy to taste good wine and not appreciate it. It is easy to miss the holy that is in our midst. So as we turn to your text today, we pray, surprise us, speak to us, move through us, draw us closer to your good news. We wait with bated breath. Join our opening hymn together, number 655, Come Away from Rush and Hurry.
Amen. You may be seated.
Do we have some kids that want to come up today? Looks like we have quite a few.
Woohoo!
Come on up, Kendallin. Kendallin's joining us today. We have Jasper and Ashlyn and Torrin and Trey.
So let's see. If you can do better than the rest of the congregation did this morning. Good morning!
Good morning! Right?
Good. Yeah, good. Nice.
Yeah. Oh, okay. How are you guys today? Good? You good? Did you ever have to deal with a bully? Have you ever had to deal with anybody bullying or picking on you? Not really? You're a big, tall guy.
You read a book about a bully? Yeah.
Anybody else? No? Oh, I used to get picked on. People said I was short. Can you believe that? I can't either. Thank you. I appreciate you. Yeah. Boy, I got teased. I had two older brothers. Who doesn't get teased when they have older brothers and older siblings, right?
Yeah.
I had younger ones, too. They teased me, too. Yeah. Of course, I got them back. Trey's older than you. Does Trey ever pick on you?
No.
No?
No.
No. He's a good brother, isn't he?
That's good.
Well, Jesus had a bully. What do you think the gospel called the bully in the Bible? Anybody have any ideas?
No.
The Bible called him the devil. Jesus went into the garden for 40 days and 40 nights. That's where the whole Lent thing comes from, right? And he prayed, but he was also tempted by the devil. And the devil's like a bully. And Jesus had to stand up to this bully. Do you think Jesus hit the bully?
No.
No, he didn't.
Do you think Jesus said mean and nasty words to the bully?
No.
Yeah?
One said,
you think so?
One said no. No, Jesus doesn't say too many bad things, does he? He gets angry sometimes.
He's up in the sky.
Yeah, because he's up in the sky. Yeah. Sounds logical to me. Yeah, in Sunday school today, we're going to read that story about how this devil tried to get Jesus to jump off the top of a big temple building.
Yeah, yeah.
And tried to get Jesus to do, like, really things against what God wanted him to do. And Jesus stood up to him in kind ways. And so we're going to learn how to stand up to bullies in positive ways, and that's going to be the focus in Sunday school today. Could you please lead us in prayer, Jacob?
Absolutely.
Okay, put your hands
up. I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God,
thank you
for sending Jesus
to
remind us how to work with bullies.
Help us
spread kindness
wherever we go.
Amen.
Call to confession. You may have heard, all is fair in love and war, or an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But God says, forgive 70 times 7. God says, I am slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God says, turn the other cheek. God's mercy catches us by surprise. So with wonder and gratitude, let us go to God in prayer. Let us be surprised by God's grace all over again. Let us pray. Loving God, somewhere along the way, we picked up the message that in order to be faithful, we have to be serious. We have to pray on our knees without ceasing. We have to be somber in worship and quiet in our studies. We have to check our wiggles and our questions at the door. But then you say the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, unruly and untamed. You turn water into wine, surprising and extravagant. And all of a sudden we wonder, can we be like that mustard seed? Can we be faithful and unruly? Can we be playful and curious? Can we be messy and still be yours? We know the answer already. The Spirit whispers, of course, of course, of course. Forgive our debt. Pull us closer into your embrace. With faith like a mustard seed, we pray. Amen. Words of forgiveness. God's grace is wild and unruly. God's mercy is abundant and surprising. God's love is expansive and unending. So if you ask, Holy One, am I forgiven? The answer is and always will be, of course, of course, of course. This is the good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Our first reading is from John 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, They have no wine. And Jesus said to her, Woman, what concern is that to me and to you? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, Do whatever he tells you. Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, Fill the jars with water. And they filled them to the brim. He said to them, Now draw some out and take it to the person in charge of the banquet. So they took it. When the person in charge tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants had drawn the water, knew, that person called the bridegroom and said to him, Everyone serves the good wine first and then inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now. Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Our second reading is Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. My friends, will you pray with me? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our living. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So a couple of years ago, in one of my earlier sermons, I started by asking you if you could agree by a show of hands that you believe in miracles. Not a whole lot of hands went up. A lot of eyes moved around, though. Because you were all sort of looking to see what everybody else was going to say. And I get it. Because while I would not intentionally ask you a gotcha question, because I don't think that's appropriate for a pastor to do, I think that exchange underscores how miracles are often perceived in our society. Sometimes miracles happen, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes it can seem like God answers our prayers. And sometimes it seems like God is far away. At some point, no amount of theology can make it make sense. We have to be guided by our experiences and the ways we live our lives. So today I'm going to take it in a little bit different direction, recognizing how faith can be miraculous and how in so many ways the miracle is community. The miracle is you. So a sanctified arts title for the worship series that we're entering into this Lent is Tell Me Something Good. When I think about that sermon, series title, I think about that as a desperate plea for something, anything good in the midst of the political and ideological and cultural mess we find ourselves in. On this first Sunday of Lent, the theme is that the good news is better than we can imagine. I'll admit to being a little cynical when I think about the wedding at Cana, because when I think about all that Jesus did for the world, reminding oppressed people that they're loved by God, redefining the status quo, seeing God's likeness in people others had pushed aside, turning water into wine doesn't really make the cut for me as something that should be known as Jesus' first miracle. In fact, sometimes I've read that story of turning water into wine and I think, whoop-de-doo, the good stuff is back again. But remember that the miracle is community. This is also a tricky story to preach in a church that hosts an active Al-Anon chapter. Al-Anon is a program that provides support to those who have an alcoholic in their family. This story might even be triggering to folks who are working on their sobriety or who live with someone who is. So, like many stories where the listener is asked to believe in miracles, the miracle is complicated. But Winnie Smith, the facilitator of our Al-Anon group, once told me that it's in those moments of community where people can turn their shame into strength. And it's in those moments that each person's struggle, each person's story multiplies into something that can provide a sense of peace and comfort. That's not so different from what happened at the wedding at Cana, or from Jesus' mustard seed analogy. I'm actually much more immediately compelled to what I'm calling the miracle of the mustard seed. Here, Jesus is looking for some kind of analogy to explain to the people, to the disciples, what the kingdom of God is like. And if you prefer less patriarchal language, you might think about, like, what is God's dream for the world? What does God want the world to look like? The mustard seed is never actually considered a miracle, but I actually think that it might be more miraculous than turning water into wine. When I think about the mustard seed, the reason that I find it so compelling is that so many of us often need reassurance that our work matters. that our witness matters, that our pursuits of justice matter, that our hope for a better world matters. And those are things that can only be done through having mustard seed faith. Those are things that can only be done when we're crazy enough to believe that our little acts of resilience and resistance can actually make a difference. Last week, I talked about the radical transfigurations that this church will probably have to go through to stay relevant, and I think that's true, but paradoxically, I also believe that the small acts of faith are going to be a lot of what helps the church continue to grow and survive. Too often, we're told in our lives that we're not enough. We don't have enough money, we don't have a big enough house, we don't have a nice enough car, we don't have enough retirement savings. But neither did Jesus and Mary and the disciples when they went to that wedding at Cana. In this story, we often imagine that the wine ran out because some caterer got it wrong. But commentators might actually make us think about it differently. One commentator notes that it's possible the wine ran out because Jesus, his mother, and the disciples showed up empty-handed. Because it's important to remember that the culture of that time was, if you were invited to a wedding, it was BYOB. And Jesus and his mother Mary and the disciples were voluntarily poor because they believed so strongly that God would provide for their every need. So they didn't really have much in terms of material possessions. So they didn't bring wine to this wedding. They couldn't contribute what they didn't have. They came thirsty, and perhaps, commentator suggests, they were thirstier than most, the way that people are when they don't have access to abundant resources. They drank, they didn't bring, and the wine ran out. Now, Mary is ashamed. Mary doesn't pull Jesus aside to whisper about a logistical situation. She's telling him, people are watching. We shouldn't have come here. What are we going to do? What are people going to think? Because the poverty that followed them into this wedding is now on full display to everyone. But I think that the mustard seed part of our faith invites us to flip the script. I titled this sermon, How to Actually Believe in Miracles, because I believe with all my heart that people like you, people like us, have the power to be miracles. I've seen that at work in so many big and small ways in the 3 years and some change that I've been with you, and I know that I will see that in even more ways for as long as I'm here and as long as I'm your pastor. Even though it's so easy to be cynical of the miracles that we read about or hear about from other places, there is one kind of miracle that I will absolutely never be cynical about. And that's the fact that everyday people can do little things that make our world safer and more inclusive and more loving and more hopeful than we could ever imagine. And I think that's what God is most interested in, too. Even though I still have some questions about the story, I have a different perspective on the wedding at Cana now, because Jesus is underscoring the importance of community even here. Lots of people have told me they're cynical about the mustard seed analogy. But remember what the mustard seed means. The realm of God doesn't serve people who already have it all. It begins small. It begins poor. It begins at the edges of the invitation list, as we remembered on Ash Wednesday. And the miracle in the wedding at Cana is not that Jesus fixes a catering problem. The miracle of the wedding at Cana is the very presence of the poor, their thirst, their visibility, their shame, is the occasion that God uses to allow abundance to break open. The miracle is that Jesus, who commentators think is in his third day of ministry, according to the Gospel of John, took a quiet gift he had to create abundance. That's the good news. That's the miracle. That's where the rubber hits the road. God isn't interested in performative acts of faith and justice. God isn't even interested in one superhero or one person being the savior, because God already filled that role. I think that God is most interested in the actions of people like you. People who make the world a better place just by being in it. The people who make us laugh when we're sad or afraid. The people who drop everything to deliver a meal to a grieving family after a death. The people who show up week after week to this building to make worship more worshipful. The miracle is community. The miracle is you. If it's not a miracle that community is still at work in today's world, I don't know what is. And honestly, if that miracle is not compelling enough to respond with a faith journey full of gratitude and love, I don't know what is. So may you go into this week ready to enact your own little mustard seed moments and your little miracle. After all, it's only when a whole bunch of little mustard seed miracles come together that the world actually changes. And that, my friend, is no small thing. Amen. So I'm going to share a song. This is by my dear friend Andra Moran. She writes this song called Little Miracles. And works really well with our text for today. And I wanted to record it so I could send it to Andra. So just a moment. Here we go. Fingerprints on a window pane, daffodils in the pouring rain, your smile in the morning, little miracles. Sunlight on the summer grass, the way you move, the way you laugh, pebbles in a rushing stream, little miracles to me, little miracles, little miracles. So now we enter into a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Let's start with a few moments of silence. Thank you. Amen. So I'm mindful that there are a lot of people traveling right now. Several folks are going to Florida. Some people are going to Georgia. Some people are going to Arizona. Becky's colleagues is on a mission trip to Kenya right now. For all of those who are traveling in one way or the other their safe journeys, that they may be full of joy. God in your mercy. Anything else today? Anything on Zoom? Nope. Okay. Then let us be in prayer. Gracious and loving God, you remind us that the world changes when all of us do our own little work. If we have a mustard seed faith, things change. And we ask you to remind us of all of that as we think about the people and situations in our world who have great need, who are up against systems that don't allow for their flourishing, who are being discriminated against every day for things they can't control. For those who are facing homelessness, food insecurity, poverty, discrimination in any possible way. For all of those who we have thought of who are traveling, be with them, provide safety to them. And be with us as we are on this Lenten journey, using the life and ministry of Jesus Christ as a model. We now pray the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time and talent, treasure, or prayer. If you brought a gift with you today that you'd like to give, you may do so as the ushers come around with the plate. But if you prefer, you can also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, remember that your gift benefits not only this church, but the work of the Church Universal. us for our doxology. Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Gracious God, you create abundance out of scarcity and fullness of life we often think could never be possible. Help us use these gifts you've given us to proclaim the radical truth that surprises and delights a world in need. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 557. This is an old camp song called "Pass It On," some of you might know it, some of you might not. But we'll keep my mic on and sing along. Friends, receive these words of benediction. You are the miracle. Community is the miracle. Your mustard seed faith is what will change the world. So go empowered to do your own little work to make the world a better place. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Thank you.